Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 53 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Sean Delaney.
And I'm Logan Pemberton.
State officials have announced plans to move 800 prisoners to a private lockup in Lee County.
WMKY's Jack Hoddle is taking a look into the state's rising prison population.
A man held up a gas station in Pike County.
Three Kentucky lawmakers have received an award.
In sports, high school playoffs are underway.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 30 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Flemingsburg Baptist Church hosted an intruder response training session last night. WKYT reports that, following the recent church shooting in Texas, community leaders hope to be better prepared in case of an emergency. Police Chief Brian Bowling spoke to the crowd of the importance to have an escape plan and learn the signs in someone's behavior. Bowling says it's best to be protective and prepared.
We'll have an honest conversation about what the probabilities are of something like this happening. And in those moments where it might happen, what you can do. And tell people that they don't have to freeze, don't have to shut down. They can keep responding and do something to help protect themselves and protect their neighbors.
The police chief says if anyone has any questions or is interested in their organization taking part in a training session, contact the police department at 606-845-2321.
Moorhead State President Jay Morgan doesn't want to waste any time in finding someone to replace the university's retiring provost. Stephen Ralston announced this week that he'll be stepping down in June. Morgan says he's already looking at starting a national search to find Ralston's replacement.
I hope to get some work done on it this weekend and maybe start getting an advertisement ready. Our hope is to maybe start this process and potentially have somebody named by April. That's kind of the normal procedure.
Morgan says he'll seek input from those on MSU's campus on what attributes they'd like to see in the school's next provost. Among other things, he thinks it'll be important to hire a team player who can work with both those on campus and in the community. Morgan also wants a candidate who can help implement strategy plans and knows how to work with performance-based funding models.
Within the next 2 months, Governor Matt Bevin has the job of choosing one of the three nominees for Boyd County Circuit Judge. WMKY's Arlo Barnett reports.
The Independent reports David Hagerman retired from the 32nd Circuit seat in September, 5 years before the end of his term. The governor will select Hagerman's successor to serve until next year's general election. The candidate elected to the position will finish the original term, which ends in 2022. The local judicial nominating commission announced the nominees for the judgeship on Wednesday. They are Ashland City Attorney John Vincent, State Representative and Assistant Ashland City Attorney Kevin Sinnett, and Boyd County Master Commissioner Roger Hall. Upon receiving the list of nominees, the governor has 60 days to make his decision. Arlo Barnett, WMKY News.
The Russell City Council has approved a tax increase. The decision was made last night during an open discussion with residents. According to WSAZ, the increase will raise the personal property tax about 4 cents per $100 of value, bringing the rate to approximately 97 cents per $100. The move will result in an extra $25,000 in revenue that will go towards the city's new fire truck. While personal property tax increased, real property tax was unaffected.
Lexington officials are looking into why the federal government took issue with rainbow crosswalks downtown. The Lexington Herald Leader reports the crosswalks at North Limestone and Short Streets, installed before the Lexington Pride Festival last year, will remain for now. The city is currently crafting a response to the Federal Highway Administration, which requested their removal over safety concerns. Environmental Quality and Public Works Commissioner Dowell Hoskins Squire says similar crosswalks in other cities haven't received the same scrutiny.
I think at this point, it appears that there is some discretion across the country on how and where the crosswalks like this are installed, and so we're still trying to do some research on why is it allowed in certain places and not in Lexington.
Hoskins Squire says crash data does not show any uptick in accidents since the crosswalks were put in place.
Environmental Protection Agency Chief Scott Pruitt found a friendly audience in Kentucky as he lambasted an Obama-era clean water rule. Pruitt told a Kentucky Farm Bureau audience on Thursday that the rule aimed at protecting small streams and wetlands from development and pollution was an example of federal overreach. He said the rule tried to redefine the Clean Water Act to cover puddles, dry creek beds, and drainage ditches. President Donald Trump's environmental chief drew applause from the farm group as he said the rule is being fixed and said a replacement rule is coming next year. Pruitt also praised Trump's decision to pull out of the Paris climate deal and said it's crazy not to use the nation's natural resources, including coal. Kentucky is one of the nation's top coal producers.
Big Tobacco is coming clean about the dangers of smoking, and Kentucky health advocates are celebrating. Kentucky's adult smoking rate is the highest in the nation at 25%, and smoking claims the lives of almost 9,000 people in the state each year. James Sharp with the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network in Lexington says they will continue their efforts to reduce tobacco use not just among adults, but the next generation as well.
The American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network advocates for at least a dollar increase per pack for cigarettes, because we know that the higher you raise tobacco taxes, the greater number of kids will not even pick up smoking as a habit and therefore not become addicted as adults in the future.
Advertisements will run in newspapers for 5 months and on primetime television, outlining what science has shown for years.
A new University of Kentucky study finds that communities with strong smoke-free laws in the workplace and other public places are significantly healthier. UK professor Dr. Ellen Hahn says, on average, those communities saw an 8% decline in new lung cancer cases over the last 20 years.
Strong smoke-free laws really do act like a vaccine in a community by protecting people from these chronic, painful, expensive diseases. If every county in Kentucky had a strong smoke-free law, we'd save 325 lung cancer cases a year.
Hahn says, by contrast, the study shows that the public health of communities with moderate or weak smoke-free laws is no better than counties without any smoke-free laws. Kentucky has the highest lung cancer rate in the nation, with the mortality rate of those cancers about 50% higher than the national average.
I'm Sean Delaney, sitting here with Logan Pemberton. The time is currently 4:37. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition here at WMKY, Moorhead State Public Radio, 90.3 FM. We'll have more news from your region coming up after this message.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, sponsor of the annual Moorhead-Rowan County Community Christmas Dinner, 4 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, December 7th at the Carl Perkins Community Center. Rowan County residents are invited to enjoy dinner served by the elected officials of Moorhead City Council and the Rowan County Fiscal Court, 4 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, December 7th at the Carl Perkins Community Center.
A Pike County gas station was robbed early yesterday morning. This is the fourth robbery in under a month in Pike County. WKYT reports that police arrested Timothy Mark Damon for holding the store at gunpoint.
At this time, there is an undetermined amount of money and several cartons of cigarettes.
State Police Trooper William Petrie says that robberies typically are increased around the holidays. Petrie also said that this robbery is believed to be in connection with a robbery at Total Care Pharmacy in South Williamson.
Kentucky's prison population is expected to rise. WMKY's Jack Cottle has more.
The increase will happen over the next decade and go up by 19%, which experts say will overwhelm the state's jails and prisons and burdening taxpayers with over $600 million in additional costs. To cope with the aging infrastructure and overcrowding, Governor Bevin has created a work group to do a comprehensive review of the state's criminal justice system and to make policy changes. To help alleviate potential overcrowding problems, state officials have announced plans to move 800 prisoners to a private lockup in Lee County. Officials say that the state's number of nonviolent offenders continues to swell, and Kentucky will be forced to consider expanding its reliance on costly private prisons. For WMKY News, I'm Jack Cottle.
Three Kentucky lawmakers are being recognized for their efforts to support sexual assault and domestic abuse victims. State Representative Melinda Gibbons Prudney, Senator Ralph Alvarado, and Senator Will Schroeder will be given the Champions of Justice Award today at the Ending Sexual Assault and Domestic Violence Conference. Deputy Director of the Kentucky Coalition Against Domestic Violence, Mary O'Dottery, says these legislators really fought hard this year on behalf of the victims.
There were a lot of issues competing for their attention, and we greatly appreciate that they decided to use their platform to help survivors of sexual and domestic violence.
The laws that the legislators worked on included new leasing protections for abuse survivors, updating the state's outdated mandatory domestic violence reporting law, and extending the statute of limitations for civil cases of sexual abuse.
Operation Unite's Drug Helpline has started taking calls. Governor Matt Bevin announced the partnership between the Kentucky Safety and Justice Cabinet and Operation Unite about 2 weeks ago. The line went live this morning at 8:30. WIMT reports the hotline staff has been training since October 2nd, creating a database and being briefed on treatment options. Education and Treatment Director Debbie Trustee says the goal of the hotline is to connect addicts with options.
Be a wide range of information. They may want a list of treatment options. They may have insurance questions.
The line is open weekdays from 8:30 to 5:30. Governor Bevin plans to extend those hours in the coming months. To contact the Drug Helpline, dial 883-8-KY-HELP or 833-859-4357.
A spokesman for the Kentucky Energy and Environment Cabinet says Moorhead business that has a smokestack that often emits large quantities of thick black smoke is not violating state air quality standards. According to John Mura, officials from the cabinet have conducted a number of inspections at Afterburners LLC on Route 32 North.
We have responded to complaints. In fact, we've been to facilities six times this year, five of them since September. We have found that none of our investigations resulted in a violation, although we have asked them to correct some deficiencies.
Mura says those deficiencies involved minor issues and Afterburners was neither cited nor fined for them. He adds the short bursts of black smoke coming from the company's chimney are within legal limits. Nearby SRG Global contracts with Afterburners to burn off the excess paint from its metal racks. Neighbors of the business have expressed concerns about the possible health hazards of the breathing in of the smoke from the burned off paint.
A spokesman for the Kentucky Department of Highways District 9 office in Flemingsburg promises crews from his office are ready for anything that Mother Nature might throw at them this winter. Alan Blair says their equipment has been checked and calibrated, and a battle plan for how to keep the snow and ice off the highways has been drawn up. Blair adds, with crews responsible for clearing several miles of roadway in the District 9 service region, local residents need to be patient while they tackle that challenge.
With 75 snowplows and 2,000 lane miles, it does take some time to get those roads plowed. So, you know, we do caution people in the wintertime, especially, you know, when a storm hits. It's not going to be clear immediately, but they will be working on it immediately. And as soon as that snowstorm gets to a manageable level or tapers off, it's clear fairly quickly after that. But, you know, people do need to realize it takes time.
Blair adds the KDH's District 9 office currently has 24,000 tons of road salt for his 10 counties at the ready and can get more if it needs to.
The police chief of Kentucky's second largest city is retiring next month. Lexington Chief Mark Bernard said in a letter to Mayor Jim Gray his retirement would be effective January 7th. Gray named Bernard as chief in 2014. The mayor said in a news release Thursday that the police department has excelled through Bernard's leadership. Bernard has been with the police department for 31 years. He said it has been his privilege to serve with the department's more than 700 officers and staff. The release said Assistant Chief Ron Compton will be the interim chief until a successor for Bernard is appointed.
John Hingsbergen, a voice of public radio for most of central and eastern Kentucky, has died. He was 67. WEKU station manager Roger Duvall confirmed Hingsbergen died suddenly Tuesday night. Hingsbergen was the content manager for WEKU, a public radio station based at Eastern Kentucky University that could be heard in Kentucky and parts of Tennessee, Virginia, and West Virginia. While Hingsbergen managed all of the content that aired on the radio, he was most known to listeners as the host of Eastern Standard, the weekly public affairs show that featured interviews with politicians, journalists, and advocates about public events and other pressing issues. Hingsbergen had been at WEKU since 2011, following a career that began in the greater Cincinnati area. Taking a look at the weather for this weekend and next week, tonight mostly clear with a low around 30, Saturday mostly sunny with a high near 53, Saturday night partly cloudy with a low around 32, Sunday sunny with a high near 56, Sunday night mostly clear with a low around 37, Monday, a chance of sprinkles after 5 p.m., mostly sunny with a high near 65. Monday night, a slight chance of showers before 7 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 50. Chance of precipitation is 40%. Taking a look at the current temperatures, it is 55 degrees here in Moorhead, 54 degrees in Winchester, Lexington, and Inez, 53 degrees in Ashland, and 52 degrees in Flemingsburg.
4:45 the time, you're tuned in to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. On today's feature segment, commentator John Modaff observes that things for which there is no excuse still require an explanation.
Have you noticed an increase in the amount of discussion concerning sexual harassment and abuse? Me too. And we thought the late 90s set the bar. Things were bad then, as they had always been, but now new levels of epidemic have been reached. As for excuses, there are none. I thought it was funny doesn't even qualify. No excuses. But that leaves us with explanations. So why are so many people behaving in such sexually horrid ways toward one another? The ancient Aristotle attribution comes to mind, wherein he is said to have said, to paraphrase, that you learn to do what you do. To that we might add, you are what you consume. So let's take a look at the palette of the makers and consumers of news, books, print, and film. If our watching and producing of the sexual staples of media are things we do, then could be we are learning to do what we do, normalizing the abuse of women, capitalizing it, selling it as entertainment. This is a set of actions that might not excuse the epidemic of sexual abuse, but might well start to explain it. The reach of the media is greater than any of our individual reaches. We compare what we see and hear to what we watch and read, and what we see and hear may be affected greatly by what we watch and read. Take, for example, the phenomenon noted in communication and media studies, wherein people who watch a lot of TV news and violent programming tend to perceive the crime rates in their own neighborhoods as higher than other people, and higher than the actual numbers. Why is that? Is it the intimacy of the media-consuming experience? Is it the halo effect, when a source that was once reliable is taken to be reliable because of past performance? Is it some sort of hypnotism or brainwashing? Whatever the cause, media portrayals of reality are powerful and influence people in their behavior in the four-dimensional world. This, we might hazard, could help to explain why Hollywood in particular is so vulnerable to sexual abuse, and in Hollywood's depictions of Washington, D.C. and other seats of power, sexual abuse and offense are as routine as a handshake. Films are called art that are also pornographic, normalizing consumption of pornography. Relationships formed by young people today and the expectations they have of one another entail this normalization of abuse and assault, dominance and submission. 50 Shades of Grey, anyone? Perhaps because we are what we eat, are what we consume, and because we learn to do what we do, an examination of our media diet and its production could be in order. Not laws, not regulations, not censorship, not panels and hearings and experts, just a singular look at what we consume, what each one of us consumes in our novels, films, music, news reading, TV watching, and binging on the buffet of abuse and neglect offered by the streaming services. This is no time for prudishness. There are no excuses, but we do have explanations. And one explanation is that our diet has been rich on abuse, and now we have become what we have eaten.
You got what you wanted, Tiger. How does it taste? Hell, you're
crazy. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Moorhead State University. And here on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 4:49. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Our very own Tilden Johnson has been keeping an eye on the sports world this Friday. He's coming up after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Moorhead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Moorhead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moorheadstate.edu/innovation.
There was a battle in Lexington today. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. Championship action in Kentucky's high school football playoffs began earlier today at UK's Kroger Field in Lexington. Local favorite Raceland faced Beechwood this afternoon in the Class A title game. The Rams fell 41-0. Johnson Central meets Franklin Simpson tomorrow at 4:30 in the Class 4A title matchup. Coach Jim Matney talks about the keys for his Golden Eagles as they bid for their second straight state championship.
Well, obviously in the key games, you know, turnovers and penalties is the big thing. You know, you have to protect the football. You can't make silly mistakes. And, you know, the other thing to that, of course, is that, you know, you got to be prepared and smooth with your offense. You can't come in there and just sputter around.
Central routed Franklin Simpson 48-0 in last year's 4A title contest. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenyer is in no hurry to find a new defensive coordinator for the Eagles. Tenyer says he doesn't have a specific timeline for hiring a replacement for Zach Moore, who resigned recently.
I'm going to take the holidays and talk to a number of candidates, and I would hope as we near signing day, we would have some people in-house for some interviews and to meet with our staff, be around our players. And I would hope that near or around signing day, sometime in early February, we'll come to a conclusion.
In going 4-7 last season, the football Eagles allowed their foes to average 41 points and 466 yards per game. In some other college football notes, Mississippi's football program has been handed a 2-year postseason ban and other penalties by the NCAA. The Committee on Infractions came down hard on Ole Miss, which went 6-6, but had a self-imposed bowl ban this year. The school had hoped to avoid the penalty next season over its long-running rules violation case. And Florida State coach Jimbo Fisher has resigned to take the same job at Texas A&M. That's according to two people with direct knowledge of the decision. They say Fisher handed in his resignation after meeting with University President John Thrasher. Fisher leaves Florida State after 8 seasons where he went 83-23. He led the Seminoles to the national championship in 2013. In some NFL news, Carolina Panthers starting defensive end Charles Johnson is suspended for 4 games without pay because of using performance-enhancing substances. He will be eligible to be put back on the Panthers' active roster on Christmas Day. Julius Peppers will start in Johnson's place. And Packers star QB Aaron Rodgers is expected to return to practice tomorrow after breaking his collarbone during Green Bay's Week 6 contest against the Vikings. He could start as soon as December 15th. After ending their 3-game losing streak last night with a 47-point win over Alice Lloyd, the Morehead State basketball Eagles will visit Northern Kentucky tomorrow night at 7. Coach Preston Spradlin says the Norse will present a challenge for the Eagles, noting that former MSU star John Brannan's NKU team is coming off of a strong season that saw it get into last year's NCAA tournament.
And he's got all those guys back, and so they got a good club. They really do. They run the stuff well. They defend well, and they got great experience to play with good confidence. And so it'll be a really tough road test for us that we've got to be prepared for.
While MSU is 2-5 this season, Northern Kentucky is off to a 5-2 start. The MSU women's basketball team, meanwhile, is also on the road tomorrow. The 5-3 Eagles will be in Nashville at 5 p.m. to battle Lipscomb. MSU coach Greg Todd thinks his team will be tested by the much-improved Bisons.
Cagle, their point guard, is a very productive point guard. She can shoot, pass, dribble, very smart player, and she's been good for the last 4 years. But they have a 6'2 post player that's shooting lights out. They're much improved. They beat Murray. They won on the road, I think, against South Charleston. So they're going to be a handful.
The Morehead State women beat Southern Illinois 85-81 last night at Johnson Arena. The 7th-ranked Kentucky basketball team ends a 6-day layoff tomorrow. The 6-1 Wildcats will take on Harvard at 3:30 in Rupp Arena. UK coach John Calipari says, starting with their strong post play, the Crimson will be a difficult opponent.
They really explore it. They'll play fast. Their point guard has a green light to go, and he can get in the lane. They deny wings. They make catches on the elbows hard. So, again, with a young team, the last team did that, and we had to work on getting open and knowing how when the guy's face guarding you.
Calipari adds his young cats are still learning those things on the fly. Harvard has a 3-5 record. And lastly in sports, both Rowan County teams will play Bath County tomorrow in their respective openers of the EKC tournament. Coach Sean Thacker notes, for his 2-0 Viking boys, the game in Owingsville will also be a 61st tournament seeding contest.
It's a big game. It and the Menifee game are the two biggest games we'll play in the month of December. Those seed games are just so critical. And I think our district is so balanced. I think we could be the one seed as easy as we could be the four seed this year. So, you know, every time we play one of those district seed games, it magnifies that game that much more.
The Lady Vikings will face Bath with a 1-0 record after their recent 5-point victory against Mason County. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball hosts Kentucky Christian at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, December 12th, and Central Arkansas at 2 p.m. on Sunday, December 17th. You can get tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Support for MSPR provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and sponsor of Moorhead's Hometown Holidays. On Saturday, December 2nd, the Appalachian Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair at Moorhead State University, Hometown Holiday on Main Street, and Cave Run Symphony Orchestra Concert at the Moorhead Conference Center. The Moorhead Rowan County Christmas Dinner is Thursday, December 7th at the Carl Perkins Center, and Christmas Parade on Main Street Friday, December 8th. Events and information on Facebook under Downtown Moorhead.
Good afternoon from the National Hilliard Lions. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks finished lower after reports that Michael Flynn was directed by President Trump to talk to Russians sent investors on a wild ride. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 40.76 at 24,231.59. The S&P 500 was down 5.36 at 2642.22, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 26.39 at 6847.59. It was reported earlier that Flynn, the former National Security Advisor, would testify that he was directed to make contact with Russians during the presidential campaign in 2016. Flynn pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI about his post-election contacts with Russia's ambassador to the U.S. It was also later updated that Flynn will say that Trump asked him to make the contact with Russia initially as a way to work together to fight ISIS in Syria. The S&P 500 declined, of course, only 0.2% after falling as much as 1.4% after the news on Kelly first came out. This amounted to the wildest trading day since the election, as the S&P 500 traded in a range of 1.71%. It does appear many investors were willing to bet that the Flynn report does not mean that the Mueller probe would lead directly to Trump and derail his presidency and economic agenda. And stocks particularly paired their losses after Senator Mitch McConnell told reporters that they had the votes to pass the Senate tax bill. In corporate news, shares of Mylan jumped 4.4% after it was reported that Amazon has held preliminary talks with generic drug makers about a potential entry into pharmaceuticals. And Ulta Beauty was among the worst-performing stocks in the S&P 500, falling 4.1% after the cosmetics retailer issued weaker-than-expected guidance for the current quarter. In the commodities markets, oil was up 1.625% to finish at $58.35 a barrel, while gold was up 0.5% at $1,283.30 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were weak, with the Stock 600 index down 0.7%. In the Far East, stocks edged up slightly, with the Nikkei up 0.4% and the Shanghai Composite up less than 0.1%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Merck and Cisco, while the worst performers were GE and Boeing. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Mylan and Apache, and the worst performers were Ulta Beauty and Mattel. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 47 cents at 73.51, CSX up 39 cents at 56.14, AK Steel up 2 cents at 4.89, Marathon Petroleum up 19 cents at 62.82, AEP down 39 cents at 77.24, and U.S. Bancorp was down 26 cents to finish at 54.89. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from Ashland offices of Hilliard Lions.
Look at the weather for this weekend. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 30. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 53. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 32. Sunday, sunny with a high near 56. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 37. Monday, a chance of sprinkles after 5 p.m., mostly sunny with a high near 65. Monday night, a slight chance of showers before 7 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 50. Chance of precipitation is 40%. Tuesday, showers and possibly a thunderstorm, high near 60.